Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today so full of thankfulness and so full of hope because we know the Lord will provide. And it's because Jesus lives that we can face tomorrow. And so, Father, we ask that you fill our hearts this morning, but open our hearts so that we may be receptive and transformed by the word that Brother Cal brings to us this morning. Bless him as he preaches the word to us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Well, amen. All across the country this morning, it's Come Back to Church Sunday. Did y'all know that? Come Back to Church Sunday. Well, guess who's back? I am so grateful for your prayers. This isn't about me this morning. This is about him. But I just want you to know, thank y'all to everybody who helped fill in for me, who helped step up while I was down. I saw my surgeon last Wednesday, which had been 3 weeks since my surgery. And she looked at me, and Diana was sitting there with me. She said, "You're doing great. We've looked at the x-rays and everything." And I said, "Can I go back and preach Sunday?" She said, "Yeah, you can do what you feel like doing." And then Thursday, I had a viral thing hit me and had a bad fever. And anyway, so that kind of knocked me out from being here last Sunday. But I told my little sister, Becky, who's an RN, and she said, "Cal, she had you down for 6 weeks, right? And you were ready to get back in 3? I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's a miracle from God." Hallelujah. And so he deserves all the praise and the glory. And I'm grateful for Brother Rick Stevens. Man, he's been such a great help, y'all, here and out at Kenwood. And our missionary, wasn't Brother Al a blessing last Sunday? My. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And y'all, you know, from time to time, it's good to hear somebody else with a little bit different perspective. And so I'm glad y'all got to hear some of that. The church council met this morning. You're going to be hearing about some things over the next couple of weeks that are going to... We've got great problems. Most churches don't have great problems. But we got problems. And not so much this morning, but when the church gets 80% full, you stop growing. Take a look around. And this is a down Sunday. We've been averaging over 200 folks even since I've been gone. And so now that I'm gone, I guess I've run those others off. But anyways, you're going to be hearing some more from our church council and from our deacons in the next coming weeks. But thank you all for being here today. If you're glad you're in the house of the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I sat right over there and just about got teared up just realizing how good God has been. And we're going to start off this morning in Psalm 86 and verse 12. And then we're going to go to John chapter 4 to preach. But I think Psalm 86 and verse 12 really lines out what I want to talk about this morning. And when you find Psalm 86, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word? Psalm 86, 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say, "I'm getting there." All right. Most of us are there. Psalm 86, verse 12. Listen to this. Listen to this. Lean in. Don't miss this. Watch this. "Behold, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore." You may not recognize that or realize that, but that's why we're here, to glorify the name of the Lord forever. How long is forever? A long time, amen? And so why do we have to glorify Him? Because of who He is, and because of what He's done, and because of what He continues to do, He deserves all the glory. This isn't about us, it's about Him. And we're going to glorify His name forever. So the question that I think begs answering is simply this: how do we do that? How do we glorify His name forever, 24/7? How do we do that? Well, there's a key word: worship. Worship. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Not only explain how we're to worship, but who we're to worship and where we're to worship. Y'all okay with that? Yes. All right. And Jesus explains all of this in a conversation with a Samaritan woman over in John chapter 4. We're going to go there in just a minute. Let's pray. It's been a long time since I've called on the man in the mountains to pray. Shan, ask God to bless the time together today, would you? Yes, Father.
We want to hear from you.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, Brother Cal. We're grateful for all that you do for us every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. My brother-in-law, from time to time, calls me Father Cal. And then he'll say, "Bless me because I have sinned." I said, "Again?" But I love my brother-in-law. I appreciate all he does for the Lord here at the church. And I love my sister Susan. But they've got a mountain house on their mind, I think. And you'll hear more about that later, too. Want to talk about worship. I've been praying that we'd have a breakthrough in worship. We've been talking about breakthrough in a lot of different areas, a lot of different subjects. But we need a breakthrough in worship. And that's exactly the conversation that Jesus is having with this Samaritan woman. And he begins by trying to help her to deal with her sin. And rather than dealing with her sin, do you know what she does? She jumps to a conversation about worship. And you know, I find that to be true. I'll be talking with somebody about the Lord, and you know, it always rolls around to our greatest problem. What's our greatest problem? Yeah. And then they'll always, you know, a lot of folks will say, and we get close to, you know, talking about sin and how God hates sin and what sin does to us. And then they'll invariably say, "Well, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh?" All right, here's my all-time favorite. "Well, Pastor, where did Cain's wife come from?" "Well, I don't know, but if he's happy with her, I'm happy with her." So she strays away from what he really wants to get to, and she asks him a question about worship. Watch this. Look at verse 20 in John chapter 4. Are you with me? Verse 20. Well, let's jump up to 19. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet.'" "Well, my. "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem," now here's the key phrase, "is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." And so Jesus introduces worship by revealing to her that worship involves a priority. If we're going to glorify God, we've got to worship Him 24/7. And it's, you know, it's pretty amazing what he says. His response reveals that worship is not really about a religion. It's not about a place. It's not about a process. But religion has to be a priority. Now, the Samaritans worshiped at a temple on Mount Gerizim, which was close to Shechem. And she said, you Jews, you worship at the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus quickly announced to her, you know what? It doesn't matter where you worship. What matters is that you do worship. And there's only one worthy of worship. And so what he's saying here is, you can worship anywhere, any place, anytime, not just at the temple. Are y'all with me so far? And basically what Jesus is trying to get this Samaritan to understand about worship is a lifestyle. There's a lot of church folks who think because they show up in here on Sunday morning that they have checked that box of obligation, and when they leave, worship's done. No, 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 no. Worship happens 24/7. It's a lifestyle. Y'all with me so far? Worship happens by the way we live our life. Worship happens by the way I treat my spouse. Worship happens when I'm able to nurture my children. Worship happens when we pray. Worship happens when we sing together. Worship happens when I'm reading my Bible and I'm obedient to the Word of God. Worship happens anywhere, any place, any time. And the only way I'm going to be able to glorify His name forever is to make worship my lifestyle. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus knew that temples made with hands had little relevance in the New Age, even though that's what she wanted to talk about. And He knew that a New Age was about to dawn. And we need to get out of this mindset of compartmentalizing things. If you're a believer, that affects every area of your life. And the way you treat your neighbor, the way you work, the way you treat your employer, the way you live life, the way you do family, all of that is your worship to God. Lifestyle. Look at your neighbor and say, we're talking about lifestyle. Now, this bunch needs to get that right. Tell us now, worship is about what?
Lifestyle.
There you go. So 24/7, the way we glorify God is to make worship our lifestyle. And how many of you know He's worthy? He's worthy. And by the way, if Jesus gave His all for me, hello, I can give my all for Him. So whatever it is that I'm doing is my spiritual act of worship. Wherever I am, anywhere, any place, any time. And so worship has to be a lifestyle. That's got to be our priority. Say priority with me. But then there's a second thing here. Worship not only involves a priority, hallelujah, it involves a person. I can't wait to share this with you. Y'all ready? No, you're not ready. Are y'all ready?
Ready.
All right, look at verse 21 again. Jesus said to her, woman. And so, guys, it's okay to call somebody woman. Because then she's going to respond with, man. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour's coming when you'll neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. So who are we supposed to worship? The Father. Now watch this. You worship what you do not know. We know, the Jews, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 25, watch this. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He'll tell us all things. So you understand the conversation here? He said, you want to talk about worship? You didn't even know where to worship. Worship happens everywhere, anytime, any place. And you really don't know who to worship. She was living in ignorance and unbelief. And then she said, oh, no, you're talking about the Messiah. I get that. We know about him. He's coming. And when he comes, he's going to answer all my questions about worship. And then Jesus dropped a bomb. The one you're talking about, bless God, you're looking at him right here. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and the Father are one. And so here, in this whole passage of Scripture, you've got this marvelous, mysterious doctrine of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three, different personalities, different persons, but one God. Y'all with me so far? That doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. It's true. And what is it, Billy? If you try to explain the Trinity to somebody, you'll lose your mind. And then if you don't believe in the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. And so he says, worship the Father here. And so really what he's saying to this woman is, I and the Father are one, John 10, 30. He said, the one that you're talking about, you're looking at him. And so what does that say to this? What does that say to us this morning? Jesus desires our worship. He wants to be worshiped. And he deserves to be worshiped. And so worship involves a person and his name is Jesus. Amen. Say that word with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it one more time with meaning and feeling. Jesus. He's worthy of our worship. Now, he tells her, he says, salvation is of the Jews. How many of you know Jesus is the seed of Abraham? How many of you know he's from the tribe of Judah? How many of you know that he is the from the line and lineage of David? How many of you know that he came riding down on a lowly donkey into Jerusalem? How many of you know that he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem? How many of you know he's the Savior? He is the Savior, and he is worthy to be worshipped. I don't know what all's going on in our country right now, but we'd all be a lot better off if we'd just bow down and worship Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And you remember the temptation? This kind of jumped out at me. The temptation of Jesus, you know, after his 40-day wilderness experience of fasting and all that. Guess who showed up to tempt him? Satan. Isn't he slick? And the third temptation, I don't know if you remember this or not. He took Jesus up on this high mountain. And he said, Jesus, take a look. Just look. All the kingdoms of the world, aren't they glorious? Aren't they wonderful? Do you see them all? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, it is written. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Away from me, Satan. Brothers and sisters, we don't worship a building. We don't worship a denomination. Hello? We don't worship a religion. We don't worship a ministry. We don't worship our children. We don't worship our moms and dads. We don't worship our hobbies. We don't worship our job. We worship Jesus. He's the one. And so he has now explained to her where or when to worship and who to worship. And so worship involves a priority. It involves a person. Ooh, and here's the last one. You're going to like this. You're going to like this. Worship involves a principle. There it is right there. And so now he's explaining to her, how do we worship? He's talked about where and when. He's talked about who. And now he's going to answer the question of how do we worship. Look at John 4 and verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now listen to this. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. What a principle. And so he begins to explain to her how to worship. Now, true worship has to be spiritual worship. Why? Because God is spirit. And so true worship takes place when there's spiritual worship going on. And, you know, the Jewish religion was primarily concerned with rules and regulations and rituals and ceremonies and services and Sabbaths and circumcision and this process or procedure. They thought that's what true worship was. But oh my, my, my. A spiritual form of worship is the only worship that God accepts. We're to worship God in spirit. Now, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you can't worship in spirit until you get born of the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit, aren't you?
Yes.
You have been born again, right?
Yes.
You have been saved. You do belong to Christ. You can't worship in spirit. Now, here's something I discovered, Billy, in the original language here. The definite article, the, is not before spirit. If that was the case, you'd be talking about Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is involved in worship. I mean, He lives within us, right? But what we're talking about is our spirit. We've got to worship God in our spirit. Now, let me unpack that for you. How do you do that? Well, worshiping in the spirit, in our spirit, guess what it involves? The right side of your brain. Do you know what the right side of your brain is? It's the emotive side of the brain. It's the feeling and the emotive side of your brain. It's where all those touchy, feely, ooey, gooey type things. The passion. Y'all with me? And so that's how we're to worship in spirit. Now, having said that, worship's got to involve our emotions. Now, I know God makes all of us different. And not everybody is emotional in the same way. But if you're really going to worship, you've got to use that right side of your brain. You've got to worship God with passion. What he's saying here, you need to worship God with all of your heart. Passion, feeling, emotions. And so there's got to be some outward and inward expression of glorifying God in worship. Now, I'm not talking about jumping up here and trying to swing from these lights. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about rolling around the floor and barking like a dog. Yeah, I said it. But what I am talking about is worshiping God with all of your heart. Worshiping God with your emotions. And, some people express their emotions differently than others. And that's okay. Because guess who it is that made each one of us that way? God did. But if you come to worship on Sunday, now listen to me. If you come for worship on Sunday and you fail to sing, you fail to pray, you don't read the scriptures, you don't obey what the scriptures tell you to do, you don't give, you know what? You have failed to worship. And you should have just stayed at the house because it didn't do you any good. But you know what? I don't know who said this, but true worship changes everything. When you really get under the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God just pours into your heart, and you begin to worship God with all of your heart, whew, something ought to happen. You don't have to jump up and throw both hands and both feet up in the air. It might do some of you some good, though. You don't have to give a shout. I think that'd do some of you good. Why has the shout left the Baptist building? Huh? We got something to shout about. We got something to glorify God about. Now, I'm not going to try to sit here and make you be somebody you're not, but there's got to be a tear in your eye, a smile on your face, or something that expresses how much you love the Lord. Amen? Worship God with all of your heart. That's what it means to worship in spirit, with your spirit. And then you also, not only in spirit, but in truth. Hello? In truth. Now, I think so often we forget about this side of true worship, because now we're talking about the left side of the brain, the intellect, the reasoning, the deductive, the calculating, the analyzing, that part of the brain. Jump over. This is real close for you. Look at John chapter 9. In verse 31, this explains it better than I can. John 9:31, just 4 or 5 pages away. Are you there? Watch this. Listen to this. Lean in. Don't miss it. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, he hears Him. Do you get it? The Scriptures tell us that obedience to the Word of God is an act of true worship. Knowing and doing the truth is worship. You'll be sitting here and you'll read some Scripture, and then all of a sudden the preacher or somebody, your Sunday school teacher, will say something and it pricks your spirit. Right then the Holy Spirit is saying, here's something you need to hear and you need to be obedient to it. And when you say, yes, Lord, guess what? True worship has just taken place. Isn't that good? I can't tell you how it's been dozens of you all over these last 7 years that come up to me and said, Brother Cal, you were talking to me today. It was like you were talking right to me. It wasn't me. It was the Spirit of the living God that was talking to you. And whenever that happens in worship, just say, yes, Lord. And you get His best. And God will be pleased with your worship. Isn't that good? Now, okay. You remember what I said about smiling during worship? Y'all look so much better when you do that. Looks like you're actually happy. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Some of us need to get set free. Hello? If you truly want to worship God, you've got to do it His way. You've got to do it with all your heart and with all your intellect. The very being of who you are. There was a sculptor by the name of, let me make sure I've got his name right, Albert Thorwaldsen. And he had always wanted to sculpt a statue of Christ, but he just couldn't get it exactly right as to how he wanted to do that. And finally, later in life, he figured out what he wanted to do, and so he made this sculpture of Christ. And in the unveiling ceremony, when they pulled the whatever you call that covering off of the statue, well, he had sculpted a picture of Christ with outstretched arms and a bowed head with his chin resting on his chest. And Albert had a good friend standing right beside him. And he said, that's not a very good depiction of Christ. And Albert said, why not? He said, I can't see His face. And Albert responded, if you want to see the face of Christ, you got to get on your knees. Whoa. Those who are humble in spirit this morning and broken over your sin, you're able to see the face of Christ, and you're going to be able to worship in spirit and in truth. Let's take one of those elements of worship and pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today. And I pray that the very Spirit of the living God has ministered life to your people. And I pray that we would make worship our top priority. That we would worship Jesus 24/7. That would be our lifestyle. And God, we're not going to worship anyone else other than the person of Jesus. He's worthy of our worship. And Father, I want to ask you, Lord, that you'd help us to worship him in spirit and truth. That's the principle we need to follow this morning. And I don't know who's here this morning that does not know Christ, but in order to worship, to become a true worshiper, we've got to worship. We've got to fall fresh at the feet of Jesus this morning. And there's probably 2 or 3 or 10 here, and they need to do that. And so if you're here this morning and you're not sure about your relationship with Christ, I want to give you a real simple, easy plan of salvation that comes straight from the Scriptures. If you'd be willing to turn from your sin, understanding that your sin separates you from a holy God, that you haven't lived up to His standards, that you've broken His law, and if you'd place your faith in the Son of God, who came to make the payment and paid the price and the punishment for your sin, if you'd be willing to surrender your life to Christ and give Him who you are, everything that you are, to Him, He will receive you. And then you'll be able to begin this life of worship. We want to know who you are and get some stuff in your hands. If you want to pray and receive Christ, I would encourage you to do it right now, right where you sit. That's right, just pray right where you sit. Agree with God about your sin. Ask Him to forgive you. Surrender your heart and life to Him. Thank Him for saving you. And for the rest of us here that are born again, in these last days that we're living in, Father, it is a dire need that the church stand up and rise up and live out our purpose to glorify you in all that we say, in all that we do, in everywhere that we go, to glorify your name forever. We can't do that without your filling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing an invitational hymn. And if you need to pray, if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, we want you to come. We want to pray with you and get some stuff in your hands. Let's all rise quietly and reverently as we sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.